Hi there, I'm Lewis Foster, a journalist up here at Manx Radio on Douglas Head, and thank you for choosing this episode of Newscast. Earlier today, plans were announced to increase the island's minimum wage from £9.50 to £10.75 from April. The proposed £1.25 per hour increase will go before Tynwald next month. That's 30 pence higher than was suggested by the island's minimum wage committee. That body consulted with businesses and individuals ahead of the changes announced today, receiving 22 responses. Among them, one small business raised concerns about the potential impact an increase to £11 per hour would have on its wage bill, with another saying it could affect the viability of the business. The committee ultimately suggested an increase to £10.45. Meanwhile, the young workers' rate is also set to rise from £6.80 to £8.05. If approved, the changes will come into force on the 1st of April, the same day the UK's minimum wage is set to rise from £9.50 to £10.42. I spoke with Enterprise Minister Laurie Hooper, who explained to me how they've reached that figure of £10.75, and which political party was it exactly that was so vocal on this subject last year, but didn't contribute to the consultation.
So the Minimum Wage Committee were asked to consult. So as part of the law, that's a requirement. So I asked the Minimum Wage Committee to go out and do a consultation on what they thought a minimum wage should look like and to go and gather evidence. They did that. They consulted on a figure that they chose, which was £11 an hour. And they went out and asked for some feedback on that. They did their process. They reported back, made a recommendation to us, and they came in at slightly lower than where we ended up. The reason that we've ended up going sort of higher than they recommended is quite simply because of the Tynwald commitment and the government commitment to achieve parity with the living wage. So there's a recommendation from July 2021 that says within 5 years, the minimum wage should transition to the living wage. In the island plan, we've set a target date for getting that transition to be completed by 2025. So that gives us 3 years, really. We've got this April 24 and April 25 in order to close the gap between the minimum wage and the living wage. And so the way that we got to the figure of 10.75 was to deal with an inflationary uplift. So we know inflation is quite significant at the moment. So the current rate of £9.50 increased by roughly about 10% in terms of that inflationary element. But then there was also an additional element to try and close around about a third of the gap between the minimum wage and the living wage. The thinking being, if we close a third this year, a third next year, and a third the year after, it gets us then to where Tynwald has asked us to be and where the island plan says we should be by 2025. The worry we had in taking that at a slower pace would have been, instead of having equally spreading it out over 3 years, you'd then be trying to squeeze that extra increase between the minimum and living wage into 2 years if we didn't start till next year, or indeed if we left it all until 2025, you'd see another big jump in 2025. So the 10.75 figure is more about trying to smooth that increase out over a longer period of time, and also trying to give businesses some confidence and some understanding that says this is the glide path, this is what it's going to look like over the next few years, which should hopefully help people plan over the next few years rather than having to worry about what each minimum wage is going to be at any given point in time.
Now, the living wage is also recalculated quite regularly. We had it looked at, of course, last year. We realised there was a slight discrepancy, actually, of what it would have been worked out as here on the island. Is there a concern that with inflation as well, that may increase and almost run away from minimum wage?
Yeah, so we factored that into the rate that we've set. So we have assumed an uplift in the living wage as well as part of the work that we've done. And that's, again, how we got to the 10.75 figure. So we've assumed an uplift in the living wage, and then we tried to close a third of that gap this year. So that was how we got to the 10.75 figure. Clearly, we don't know what the living wage is actually going to be. So it could very well be that our assumption is too high or too low. So we can't be sure absolutely that the gap will close at exactly a third this year. And we'll definitely have to factor that in into how we then close the gap further next year and the year after. But we've worked with Statistics Isle of Man to work out what that uplift may very well look like. So we're reasonably confident that we're pitching it at around about the right level.
How do you think businesses on the island will react to this new minimum wage? Because, like you say, it's only 25 pence per hour below what was described by the Minimum Wage Committee as a figure which could potentially jeopardise their ability to continue trading that £11 mark.
Yeah, so the minimum wage consultation only actually had 22 respondents, and that was a mixture of businesses, groups, and individuals, including a couple of members of Tynwald, I'm advised. So it was a very small response rate. So as well as the minimum wage consultation, we've also factored in, obviously, conversations we've had with businesses that the department has had, the agencies have had, not just with businesses, but with groups as well that represent various sectors of the economy. And I think, broadly speaking, it's fair to say that most businesses out there are already paying quite far in excess of the minimum wage as it stands, if not at the living wage or near the living wage levels already, simply because we have a very tight labour market on the island. So they're finding it difficult to recruit. And one of the things people do when they're finding it difficult to recruit is to offer higher wages. And so we know there will be obviously some businesses out there that will be impacted by this more than others. But by and large, the general understanding based on the information that we have is that most businesses are already paying wages around this or close to this anyway. And so it shouldn't have as big an impact perhaps as the Minimum Wage Committee's consultation response would indicate.
You say perhaps not as big an impact, but we know the COVID pandemic, everything else over the last few years has taken its toll on island businesses. Is there a concern that we could see some of the smaller businesses, some of those that did reply to this consultation, fall by the wayside in the coming year?
I think that's always a risk, and I think you're right. You'll have seen the COVID pandemic, and now you're seeing high inflation, high energy costs, and high labour costs already impacting businesses. And that's kind of the point that I'm trying to make, is these high labour costs already exist in the marketplace. So these businesses are already having to pay high wages in order to attract people, simply because there aren't enough people in order to fill all the jobs. And to a large extent, I would argue, a lot of these pressures are already being felt and may very well be the cause of businesses not succeeding over the next year or so. While I'm talking about this, it's been useful to highlight the Department of Enterprise support schemes that exist. We do have support in place where businesses that feel they are distressed, that are in danger of closing, can reach out to the department for help, for guidance, for support, for support in terms of getting business analysts in to help them to see if there is a way of restructuring or recovering from where they stand. So there are support schemes in place for businesses that are having difficulty. There are also support schemes in place for businesses that want to invest. So if there are businesses out there that are thinking they need to invest in improved processes, improved machinery, improved equipment, whatever it may be, to try and improve their productivity, improve their efficiency, improve their revenue streams, all the support schemes in the DfE are all designed to try and do exactly that. So while we're talking about businesses adapting and changing, not just to the minimum wage, but to dealing with some of the other pressures that are out there, I would encourage them to reach out to the agencies in the Department for Enterprise to talk about the support schemes that are on offer.
And looking across the water, we have this economic strategy. We're trying to boost the island's economically active population in the coming years. Is it important to keep that minimum wage high, much above the UK's? We know that's set to rise to £10.42 on the 1st of April. That £10.45, which was suggested by the committee, was that seen as perhaps not competitive enough with that across?
Again, that's a really good question. So if you look at not just England and Wales, but also places like Jersey and Guernsey, so they would have, if we'd moved to a 10.45 wage, we would have been below the minimum wage that has been paid in places like Jersey. And I think it is important that we're ahead of the game on this. There is a timing difference, obviously. Different places change their wages at different rates, depending on what point of the year they're going to be doing it. So there's always a bit of back and forth. But I think it is absolutely important that we are, as an island, fully committed to making sure the jobs here actually do pay their way, that people can work and earn without having to rely on the state to support them. So it is, I think, really important that we do have a minimum wage that is a living wage. And bringing back right back to that point, this is very much a Tim Walz commitment and a government commitment anyway. So if we decided not to start aligning the living wage with the minimum wage with the living wage, Tim Walz, I think, would be having some serious questions asking of us, because Tim Walz has instructed us to do that anyway and has been reaffirmed in two versions of the island plan now as well that have gone in front of Tim Walz. So as well as the government releasing this, we're trying to try and smooth out some of that increase that Tim Walz has asked us to do. So to a large extent, our hands were already to some extent tied by Tim Walz saying, you need to do this, it's got to happen within a certain time frame.
Are minimum wage jobs easy to fill on the island?
That's a really good question. The feedback that I get from industry more broadly is jobs just generally are quite difficult to fill. And that will be in part due to not enough workers with not the right skill sets or different skill sets. the lower wage jobs obviously are definitely harder to fill, just because in the grand nature of things, if you've got two jobs and one's going to pay you more than the other and they're very similar work, obviously people are going to go for the higher paid job. So there's definitely difficulty filling low wage jobs, and I think that is why you're seeing a lot of firms not actually paying or relying on the minimum wage. A lot of them are paying above that anyway, because if you want to attract someone to work in your restaurant or office or whatever it may be, if one your competitors are only paying the minimum wage, one of the easiest things you can do to attract people away from your competitors to come and work for you is to say, well, I'll pay you closer to the living wage, I'll pay you a living wage, I'll pay you more than the living wage, even in some cases. So I think it is fair to say businesses are struggling to fill those low wage jobs, but they're all trying to adapt and find their own ways to how they can get over that hurdle. So the youth worker rate, as it's referred to, applies to 16 and 17 year olds. At the moment, that rate is £6.80 an hour. It's proposed that will increase to £8.05. And the reason for that is it's matching the same increases in the single hourly rate. So we're moving from it's £1.25 increase. So the rate differential between the main rate and the youth rate will remain the same as it is now. There have been conversations in Tynwald around abolishing that rate and aligning everything together so that we just have a single minimum wage, irrespective of whichever age you are. I think there's work ongoing on that to look at what that might look like in the future as we do transition now to a living wage island and living wage economy. So that is it's a piece of work that's ongoing. But just to explain that increase, it's the reason we chose that was it's to try and match the increase that we're doing to the main rate for everyone over the age of 18.
It's mentioned in this committee's recommendation that there was a political party on the island calling for the minimum wage to rise to the level of the living wage immediately, that £11.05. But this party didn't respond to the consultation. That must be quite frustrating, I imagine.
Not at all. So that, I think, was Liberal Vanin. We as a party made that statement. My party chairman put a statement out saying we need to get to the living wage as quickly as we can. I think the party felt that having made that announcement, having it very widely reported, including by Manx Radio, I think, so thank you very much for that. We felt that was enough for the committee to have noticed the comments that were being made and to have taken them on board. Clearly, they did notice the comments. They did take them on board. So actually, having filed a separate consultation response to the consultation, I think may have been a bit excessive on the party's part. Obviously, that stuff was all done by my party chairman rather than me, seeing as that would have created a bit of an uncomfortable conflict if I was responding to my own consultation on things. May not have been an ideal situation to be in. So I don't know which political party they're referring to, but I do know Liberal Vanin made some very public statements about their position and our position more broadly on what the minimum wage and living wage should look like.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.